Welcome back to another episode of Politically Incorrect, a safe space of socially unacceptable commentary. I'm your host, Michael, and we're just going to go ahead and get into it. Solo episode. LeBron James. Obviously, we're going to start off with LeBron James. This is old, but, you know, I haven't recorded in a week, so, you know, whatever. This is just my time to get to it. He did a, I forget after what game it was, but they did like a press conference. This is back when he was like moody and even more so moody because they were losing games. They've won their past two. This was like a week and a half ago. They were in that whole bad stretch. And LeBron did a post-game, like, conference, whatever, in the locker room. And I don't have it verbatim because it's LeBron James. But what I took away from it was he was talking about the inconsistencies of the game and just how, like, on any given night they can beat the best teams, but also on any given night they can beat the worst teams. They're not able to catch a rhythm or a flow or anything like that. And what I took away was that was, oh, woe is me. LeBron is like, oh, woe is me. But he actually has a point. I'll get there. But, oh, woe is me. We actually don't know if we can compete on any given night. I'm not even going to dabble into that type of hate right now. But I wonder why that is, because it's not like the Lakers will, I would like to think. It's not like the Lakers are told what nights they're going to be given a plus 30 advantage from the free throw line. But there obviously are nights when they're given like an even matchup, like they actually call a fair fucking game. And what did you know? The Lakers sit here today, what, 26 and 25? I don't even know what the free, well, I'm pretty sure they won it last night, but not like anything ridiculous, but guys. And also the Knicks were like the second highest in free throw like differential and everything. So, I mean, you know, something had to give that night. But LeBron, you know what? You have a point. You and your teammates, you have a point. Y'all are just going to play the game the way that y'all have been playing. And some nights you're going to be overly rewarded for it. And some nights it's going to be called correctly. But the problem is on those nights, y'all don't know how to play. It's crazy. The exact opposite is happening in Golden State. They don't know which night, well, actually every night they're not going to get the same whistle. Hell, they're not going to get the same whistle as the team that they're playing against. But yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. You have to beat it. You have to beat it. And that also goes for Lakers. Oh, we don't know which nights we're going to be overly advantaged. We don't know. It must be nice. It must be nice. But yeah, that was something that I saw that I found interesting. And then also Tyrese Haliburton was talking about how, you know, it's dumb that the NBA is making the guys play 65 games. And unfortunately for Tyrese, like, in your situation, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve the ramifications that come with not being able to play in 65 games because you've been hurt. But when he's been playing, he's been sensational this season. But because of the guys before him, he is now being penalized. And this is what these guys seem to not understand. The only reason why the NBA is the NBA is because of what the guys before them did. That's with everything. The only reason why I'm able to record a fucking podcast right now is because somebody made a computer. Somebody made the internet. Somebody made microphones. We are all standing on the backs of giants. But oftentimes we don't consider that. We don't think about that. Like, you know what? Let me see. I should have did this beforehand. Google. Let's see. Spot Red. Let's see here. Michael Jordan. All right, Michael Jordan. When it comes to standing on the backs of giants like these guys are today. Michael Jordan's career earnings in the NBA. Are you ready? Michael Jeffrey Jordan in his entire 14-year career, even when he came back, both times, all three times, or whatever the fuck. Michael Jordan's career earnings in 16 seasons is just under $94 million. $94 million is what Michael Jeffrey Jordan made. How much do you think the NBA made? Why do you think the NBA was able to make that money? And now we're seeing it all come full circle. Guys today are not playing the allotted amount of games, and it's crazy that this even has to be made a fucking rule. Now, I know we want to make all the excuses today. Well, oh, they play so much more basketball than they did back then. There's more miles on their legs. Guys, probably all true. Probably all true. You know what? Sure. I ain't even going to... Could argue, not gonna argue, probably all true. But you also have benefits of being in today's day and age. You also have the benefit of taking care of your body in a manner that these guys could have never dreamed. With the advances in technology, the advancements in medicine, and the more fucking money these niggas make. The max players in the NBA this season are making about 55 million this season. This season, Michael Jordan in 16 years made under $94 million. And you want to know something insane? He made two-thirds of that in two fucking years. Two-thirds. In the 1997 season, the 1998 season, he made over $30 million in both of those seasons. 63 million of his under 94 million, he made two seasons. But he was able to make that money because the guys before them doing their job. And the guys before them doing their job. For some reason, we dropped the ball. This generation, well, I can think of why, but we dropped the ball. And yeah, you know, actually, I think it started with participation grades. I feel like that was, or completion grades, like that, I don't think that was never, the. I feel like that was a new concept introduced with my generation, and it never really made sense. Like, I remember in fourth grade, we had like a book report. It was a completion grade. I didn't know what the fuck that meant. I had no fucking idea what that meant. I was like, okay, well, I mean, we gotta, yeah, we finish our homework all the time. I don't understand what a completion, that doesn't compute. I don't understand what you're talking about, ma'am. Okay, whatever. I'm going to do this assignment the way we always do fucking assignments. One of my closest friends, apparently he understood what completion grade meant, but didn't feel the need to tell me. He turned in some grade A bullshit. We both got hundreds. I was confused. I was befuddled. I was bewildered. I was perturbed. Because I know the work that I did and the work that he did were not the same, but we got the same grade. When I imagine my, just imagine, hypothetically, let's go into a dreamland. Imagine how much more upset I would be if they would have got a 105, 110, or hell, I got a 90, but they got a 100. Because that's what's happening today in the NBA. That's what's happening. We got role players that are getting paid. Like, how much did Austin Reeves sign for? Didn't he sign 4 years, like 64 something million like that? He'll be able to sign another contract. He's going to make more money in his NBA career than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Why do you think that is? The NBA made this new rule where, like, I thought that it was going to mitigate some of this with, you know, starters or stars missing games. Like, they had the whole, like, you can't miss nationally televised games and yada, yada. All the, you know, they had a whole bunch of stipulations and certain guys were in that criteria of where it applied to and all that. Has that just gone away? Is that no longer a thing? Because it seems to be that the guys are doing the same shit that they were already doing. It seems like the NBA is just like, all right, well, fine, fuck it. Y'all just not going to get awards. Fine, how about that? Do what you want to do. You're just not going to get awards. And to a degree, cool. I like that. Okay, you decide not to play. This is the rules. This is the requirements. You didn't meet it. Doesn't matter if you average 50 points a game in a triple-double. You didn't meet it. Okay. We were all, because we've, well, I think, we've come to a place of understanding where the MVP award is no longer given to the best player in the NBA. I think we have all come to accept that truth. Sometimes it is, but not always. So, okay. If Donovan Mitchell plays in 75 games and he averages 30 and the Cavs are 3, 4, 5 seed, okay. If obviously everybody else doesn't meet their criteria, absolutely. But I'm not mad at it. Nobody, I don't think, we're going to say, oh, Donovan Mitchell's the best player in the NBA, but he did what he was supposed to do in the regular season. There's something to be said about playing the fucking game, doing what you're supposed to do. That just literally just showing up. That's it. Literally just showing up. I'm not even going to get into the whole, well, this is people spending their hard-earned money to come to the games and all that. Yada. I'm not good, but that is a thing. That is true. And the reason why people were able to do that back in the day and the NBA was able to grow into the lead that it is now is because, well, the guys took it. They cared. They played the fucking games. It's ridiculous. I remember Kobe was like kind of in that generation was kind of seen as like a fucking Iron Man because he played 82 every now and again. Look back and saw, I was like, oh, he only did it like 4 or 5 times. I thought he was in his bag. I thought he was just, oh, 82. Like, I thought he was, nah, not even Kobe. But, you know, different, you know, injuries. Kobe was not low management. I know that, but, you know, just, it's something to playing 82. But he always was, you know, over the 65, if there were 65 games, unless, you know, there was the 2 years towards the end of the career when he was injured. But guys today, like, look, LeBron James. Oh, another reason why I hate LeBron James. If we're going to crown you for your longevity and all the things that you've done, you are a physical specimen like we have never seen before. Why have you only played 82 games once? Why? I don't understand. And that's the thing. He already has all these records and played 82 games once. Just imagine if he did his fucking job like the guys before him did. And, you know what I mean? It's like... All of the records. He might be the all-time leader in threes if he did that. But, you know. Guys realize that the regular season doesn't matter. Well, I mean, you got to get to the playoffs. And, you know, hopefully if you're comfortable with your seed, if you think your team is nice and it don't matter what seed you are, then you just got to get in the playoffs. And they made it even easier now with the fucking play-in. Now, they made it easier, but they did also make it more competitive. So I'm not mad at that, but. It's upsetting that the NBA had to go to this lengths and make this rule. And now it's affecting guys that I don't think they should be affected. I don't think Tyrese Halliburton, I'm not the biggest fan of Tyrese Halliburton, but he's having a good year this year. And I think he's like, what, in a contract year or something like that? Like, it was a big deal. Or it is a big deal if he plays in 65 games. Well, I mean, dude didn't have to get hurt. But that's the thing. You can't say, well, all right, well, if you're injured, then it's okay. Because then everybody's going to be injured. That's what they've been saying for years whenever they're low managing. So there's no way around it. So unfortunately, Tyrese, because the guys before you, some of them are still playing in the league, fucked you over. Now you're about to get fucked over. And how do you think that's going to go for future generations in the NBA? You think they're going to take it personally or you think they're going to be upset? Are they going to do what's right? Are they going to make the game better for the guys after them? Are they just going to worry about themselves because they're getting fucked right now? I don't know. But back to the whole new rule with the whole superstars and everything. I was thinking about that. I remember that list was pretty deep. There was like 60-something niggas or some shit on the list. They ain't that many stars in the NBA. Stars, yeah. Superstars, no. And super, when you have a superstar, it kind of dwarfs everything else. Like, for example, like the Sun. The Sun is just a star. There's mad stars in the Milky Way. But that bitch lights up our fucking planet. Like, that shit's just different. So all those other stars, like, yeah, we acknowledge you, but when there's a superstar, you know, there's just levels to this shit. So I wanted to go back, and I know, what, last year, two years ago, I was talking about, like, superstars. Who are the superstars in the NBA? I want to revisit that. I want to revisit that conversation a little bit. And based off of the way I see the game, I would say, and I was actually surprised when I did this, but I would say, well, actually, I did kind of widen it. I did increase it a little bit. I should have the strict stipulations that I wanted to have, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I have to include Steph Curry. So I have, I believe, 8 superstars in the NBA, and what I looked at, obviously, it's all subjective per me, but I had 10 bullet points to see if they met those. And these were things that I think are box office, along with just, you know, you yourself being box office. If they were top 3 at their position, probably a superstar. If you have a top skill set, like if you're like the best shooter in the league, if you're the best passer in the league, if you're the best, I don't want to say defender because we don't really give a fuck about that. So, like, you know, if you have a great offensive skill set, like a top 3, 4, 5 offensive skill set. All right. People want to see that. If you're on a contender, obviously, if you're a contender, people, you know, give a fuck about winning. Oddly enough. Box office. When I say box office for me, I mean I would personally pay to see. Did I include? Yeah, I did. Okay, good. Another thing to being a superstar that is all goes into offense. A lot of these things are all just, you know, pretty heavily related to one another. But to be a superstar, people like to see you score. People like to see points on the board. So I think if you can average 30, if you have averaged 30, or, you know, we all think that on any given night, if we were to pay to see you, we could see a 30 ball. All right. Yeah, now we got you. We got you. Let's see. Also, same with statistical accomplishments, like, you know, a double-double, a triple-double, feats like that. Like, you know, like those, like, people want to see that. You know, people care about these things. People care about these things. They do. It's the reason why stats and ESPN and all that shit exists. People care about these things now. And including and going into that, do I believe this person is getting a media push, heavy media push? Or, you know, in some cases, I'll say this because he didn't meet the cut. Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, I would say, gets the media push, but right now it's all negative. But I think if Ben Simmons does what Ben Simmons is supposed to do, I think the media will instantly fall back in love with Ben Simmons. I think it's all still right there for Ben Simmons. So right now it would be negative, but I think if you have that negative pull, you can get that positive pull. But he's not in that top eight, but just wanted to give that example. Also, another thing, if you're a superstar, in my opinion, if you're a superstar in today's NBA, another minimum thing, like, and just another component to it, you're a 10-time All-Star, minimum 10-time All-Star. I mean, if you've been in the league for a minimum of 10 years and you've been an All-Star for 10 years, you just might be a superstar. You just might. That's not the end-all be-all. Again, these are all things that, you know, the more of these boxes that you check, that's how I said, okay, you know what? All right, yeah. And a lot of these we can all agree with. And I think most people, because we live in this fucking everybody gets an award, everybody wins culture. Like, when we're talking superstars, like, really it should be like 2-3. I believe, if that, but because I want it to be more inclusive, I have it at 8. But I, you know, I can rank them. That's fine. I can rank them. I don't want to, but I can rank them. Also, if they've won MVP, I think if you've won MVP at any point in your career, your box office, your must see, and you're probably a superstar. You're more than likely a superstar. For at least 1 year, you are absolutely a superstar. People will pay to see that. Even Shaquille O'Neal with the Celtics, I would say, was a superstar. Not with his production, but okay, but better yet, he would have that box checked. He would have like the 10-time All-Star check. He might not, you know, be all the way in there, because altogether I have 10 things. Oh, yeah. And lastly, has been All-NBA first team 5 times. I think if you've been All-NBA first team 5 times at any point in your career, you just might be a superstar. You just might. Now, you might have fallen off tremendously. That may very well be true. But you're probably a superstar. People would probably check off. I would, though, my cutoff was 6. If you had 6 of these 10, I had you in the conversation. Now, again, I lowered that. And it's also, it's fluid. Because, like, for example, contender, like, well, you're not a, well, I would say perennial contender, but I just did it in context of this season. If I think you're on a contending team. Anyway, yeah, fuck it. Let's go ahead and get into it. I'm not going to do these in order. But if you follow along, you'll see who in my little thing graded out higher. But Joel Embiid, I would say he's a superstar. Reluctantly, I would say he's a superstar, but that he most definitely is. I do believe he's top 3 at his position. He's fringe contender. He's won MVP. He can average 30. Hell, he led the league in scoring. He can get you a double-double. Some nights he might fuck around and try to pass a little bit and might accidentally get a triple-double. He can still play defense, even though I didn't include defense really, anything like that. But, you know, just wanting to see somebody completely dominate a game, I would consider that box office. So, yeah. And obviously he's getting a heavy media push because all the free throws the nigga takes. So, all those things considered, yeah. Joel Embiid is definitely a superstar in this league. Giannis, I had him, he graded out 9 out of 10. That was actually kind of crazy. I wasn't really expecting that. But yeah, he's definitely top 3 at his position. His skill set, which is just go straight and dunk on niggas, well, yeah, he's 1 of 1 at that. They're on a contender. I would pay to see him. He's average 30. He's a double-double machine. The nigga has a Disney movie, dog. I don't care if it was a year or two ago. Nigga has a Disney movie, dog. Yeah. You know what? If you get a Disney movie, I think that those effects last for about 3-4 years. I think that's enough to say you get a media push. Nigga had a Disney movie. The same year he won a championship. Media push. I don't think, yeah, he's not been a 10-time All-Star just yet, but he has won MVP, and he has, I believe, been All-NBA first team. So, yeah, he's, yeah. Giannis, and he's doing all that in Milwaukee. That's insane. Jokic, I would say Jokic, very reluctantly, graded out a 7 out of 10. Yeah, I would say he's top three his position. He's definitely top three skill set, just being able to do all the things that he's able to do. Obviously, they're a contender, being the reigning champs. I would pay to see just because I don't believe in this nigga at all. I still to this day, bro, bring that nigga to Cowboy Fit. I will bust his ass. I don't give a fuck. I don't see. I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. I've seen. It doesn't make any sense. Watching Jokic legitimately has me believe if I was blessed enough to be 6'8", I would be an NBA MVP. I would be an NBA MVP if I was 6 feet. I mean, sorry, 6'8". If I was 6'8", I'd be an NBA MVP. Watching, no, that's disgusting. No way, no way. Ain't no fucking way. But anyway, he can score, but, I don't think. I wouldn't bet my money. If he ever had, over 30 and a half on points, probably going to take the under. I just, he can do it, but I don't see that. But obviously, he's a stat machine. Media, man, he don't really get the media push because he don't really fuck with the media. He don't really fuck with the media. I do think it's interesting that Peyton Watson is getting a lot of attention, and has been in commercials and things with him. Peyton Watson is nice. Be on the watch for Peyton Watson. He's a problem. He's obviously won MVPs. I don't know if he's been an All-NBA first team 5 times. Well, I don't remember in this moment, but when I did it anyway. Anyway, moving on. Steph, I had to include Steph. Steph was 6 out of 10. Obviously, I think he's a top three in his position, but you can debate that. He's obviously a top three skill set. He's the greatest shooter of all time. I want to say that they're a contender, but I'll let that be. I mean, I can say it, but I'll let y'all can have it for now. Y'all can have it for now. Well, if we keep getting riffed like we do, then we got to be the greatest team of all time. We got to be the 97 with the 96 Bulls just to make the play in. That's how the Warriors are being officiated. I'm dead ass. Watch the Warriors. Just watch the Warriors. Well, objectively watch the Warriors. I can objectively watch teams I hate. I did it the other day. It was a terrible experience, but it can be done. It can be done. One MVP. Yes, he can average 30. He's not gonna get you a double double, but if he does, that'd be fire. Media push? Absolutely not. 10-time All-Star, yes. He's won MVP. I don't believe Steph's been All-NBA first team 5 times though. I don't think so. I don't think. See, that's what I'm saying. That's if you did that, all right, you probably one of them. You probably one of them. I didn't do this for Chris Paul, but he might check off some of these boxes. Well, he's not top three of his position anymore. I don't think he has a top three skill set. I can't say he's a contender because I said didn't say it for Steph. I wouldn't pay to see him. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, no, fuck out of here, Chris Paul. He got some other stuff though. He got some other stuff for sure. For example, I know that this isn't going to be seen as such, but just given the 10 bullet points that I have here, Russell Westbrook grades out 6 out of 10. Now, he's no longer top three of his position because they're not playing him. He's top three skill set. Fine, I'll say no, but I would argue that. The Clippers are obviously a contender. But I would definitely pay to see Russell Westbrook, even though it might only be 12, 13 minutes. That's the fucked up thing. And it's not because he can't play. It's just Ty Lue's reading it. But they're winning games, so you can't say anything about that, I guess. But it's shout out to Russell Westbrook, man. Even in the limited minutes that he gets, sometimes he can still fuck around and get you a triple-double, so whatever. Media push, absolutely not. The Lakers run tainted his career forever, and then also he still gets all the blame for OKC when Kevin Durant was a cupcake. But he has won MVP, and I don't know. I don't want to pull all these back up. I don't know if he was All-NBA first team 5 times, though. Probably not. Well, I don't know. I don't know. He's done a lot of shit. But anyway, LeBron James, 8 out of 10, top three of his position. Sure. Top three skill set. Okay. Contender. Remains to be seen. Box office, would I pay to see? No. But depending on who they're playing. All right. But I understand that most people would pay to see LeBron James, so box office. Average 30. I mean, well, in this NBA, if he ever, you know, on any given night that he wants to score. What he said, like, back in, like, 08, like, any, if I wanted to lead the league in scoring, I could. Like, that was bullshit then, but, like, that, he could absolutely do that now. Like, that's how soft this shit is. Like, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. Double-double, triple-double, yeah, he can do that any given night. I mean, when, I don't know if I spoke about this. Maybe I did. Whenever the Lakers play the Warriors, as long as the Warriors don't have a seven-footer, I know LeBron's going to dominate on the glass more so than he does on any other night because he's the second tallest player on the floor. And if Jonathan Kuminga's on the floor, then he's the second most athletic. If Jonathan Kuminga's not on the floor, then he probably is still the most athletic player on the floor. So any given night, if he wants to, you know, get rebounds, defensive rebounds, like offensive rebounds, that'd be fire. Anytime he wants to, you know, do shit like that, you know, Lakers probably wouldn't be 26 and 25, and they probably would have a better idea and a grasp of the games that they have a good chance of winning. It wouldn't be that inconsistent anymore. Anyway, media push, obviously, 10-time All-Star, duh, has won MVP and has been All-NBA first team 5 times. So, yeah, LeBron James is unfortunately still a superstar. Kevin Durant, yeah, top three at his position, top three skill set. The Phoenix Suns, I think, are a contender right now. Would I pay to see Kevin Durant? I mean, Kevin Durant's on some teams that I wouldn't mind watching. So, I mean, that's cool. But for Kevin Durant solely, me personally, no. But I understand that's a yes still for most people. Double-double, nah, Kevin Durant ain't like that. Kevin Durant ain't like that. I mean, he's 7 foot. It'd be nice if he, especially in this NBA, it'd be nice if he, like, you know, would get you 10 rebounds on any given night more consistently. I mean, hell, Larry Bird did it. But, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's Kevin Durant. You know, whatever. It's Kevin Durant. You know who he is. He's Kevin Durant. Media push, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's media push is neutral because he, like, hates the media, but he also has been heavily favored by the media, like, heavily favored by the media. I need to finish that video, but, yeah, fuck out of it. Kevin Durant's a superstar, though. 8 out of 10. And lastly, I have Luka Doncic, 6 out of 10. Yeah, he's, yeah, top three of his position. The Mavs, I don't know about the man, the contender skill set. Box office, I would absolutely pay to see Luka. Luka can absolutely get you 30. He can get you double-double, triple-double. Media push. The media push is, I don't know. He obviously hasn't been in the league long enough to be a 10-time All-Star. Hasn't won MVP. Actually, I think Luka has been 5-time. Yeah, Luka has been 5-time All-NBA first team, though. Luka is pretty insane. Now, the reason why I really wanted to discuss all this and talk about superstars was Trae Young being snubbed once again from the All-Star game. If it's about winning, okay. If it's about winning, okay, because, and I've been thinking about this for a while, Trae Young's talent is undeniable, but for whatever reason, it is not really impacting winning, not to the degree that, you know, you would want it to be or it would need to be for a superstar. Trae Young, he will be top 5, top 10 in scoring like he has been the past couple of years, be top 5 in assists like he has the past couple of years. He gets it. He's a better score. As for all the love that Tyrese Halliburton is getting, just imagine if Tyrese Halliburton could shoot 40% from 40 feet away. Because that's Trae Young. Trae Young is, I don't want to say he's just as good a shooter, because that wouldn't be true. Trae Young still has a lot. He can still grow so much. Well, he was drafted in 18, or was it 19? I believe it was 18 he was drafted. So 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So this is year 6 for him. Steph's year 6, he won a championship and MVP. Okay. All right. Well, Trae, I mean, you also in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, there's 4 teams there's four teams you got to be concerned with. Out of those four teams, like, you should be, they should be a perennial playoff team. Like, they shouldn't be a perennial play-in team. They should be a playoff team. His numbers are there, but it's not impacting winning. If that's the reason, okay. Okay. It's frustrating, but okay. I mean, he continues to prove that he's one of them guys. He's one of the best players in the NBA, and this, yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for Trey. I really do typically find myself being a fan of someone that's unfairly judged, and this is definitely Trey. He's reached the same peaks in the playoffs as Luka, but he just doesn't have the consistent success. Like, record-wise, because if you're not an idiot, you acknowledge that the Western Conference is still superior to the East. I mean, the East has three, four teams. Well, in the actual, who we actually think can win the Eastern Conference, it's three teams. It's the Celtics, it's the Bucks, and the 76ers. It's been the same three teams for 5-6 years now. Well, okay. The Heat, we don't ever believe that the Heat are going to win, but the Heat do find themselves in there, so I guess you can say it's a four-team race, but it doesn't matter what seed the Heat are in, so okay, fine, four teams. But in the West, I mean, hell, this season alone, the Phoenix Suns could still make the finals. I think they're the sixth seed right now. The Lakers could still make the finals. They're in the play-in. If you want me to tell you the truth about Golden State, but regardless, they're like the 12 seed. That's how crazy the West is. The 12 seed in the West is beating the dog shit out of the 12 seed in the East. Watch that beat Atlanta Hawks. That'd be hilarious. You get my point. It's different, man. There's more 20-win teams in the West. There's more 25-win teams in the West. There's more 30-win teams in the West. They just getting it done. The West is the West is the West. And the West is the best. But yeah, no. Luka's more effective out in the West. Well, that's why he gets the edge. And I did have a question about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, because he didn't meet this, he didn't make the cut for me. He graded off at a 4 out of 10. I do believe he's top three of his position. Obviously, the Celtics are a contender. I'm not personally paying to see Jason Tatum. I'm sure people do, but I think that's also just more like those are Celtic fans. Like it's just different. That's a diehard ass fan base. And if you get buckets for them, like, they gonna love you. So I don't think it's because I don't know. That one's tricky for me. Can he average 30? Any given night, I think he could get you 30. I think he could. Double, triple double, that'd be a little less likely. The same thing with the media push for Jason Tatum. I don't know if that's because Jason Tatum is really good or if that's because he's on the Boston Celtics. Like, I'm saying, if Jason Tatum was on the Oklahoma City Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was on the Celtics, what would that conversation be? I mean, hell, people said it for years. If Damian Lillard was in New York, what would the conversation be? So I don't know how much of that is Jason Tatum and how much of that is them alone. Because also another thing with superstars, like, superstars are superstars are superstars no matter where they are. Like, Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City. LeBron was LeBron in Cleveland. San Francisco, I mean, like, they got a fire ass, you know, football in Oakland. You know, they got, like, football and baseball and all that shit. But I don't think they're really known for basketball like that. I guess it's bigger than Cleveland, Oklahoma City for sure. But it's not L.A., it's not Miami, it's not New York. I would think that there's more money there because of tech and everything. But I would like to think they're more of like a Milwaukee. I mean, hell, San Antonio, I don't understand how they're a small market when they're like the fifth largest city in the nation or some shit like that. But whatever, I don't understand these things. There's a lot of guys, like, obviously there's going to be a turnover real soon. There's a lot of guys in this era that are like on the cuff, according to, you know, my little, you know, what I did here. Like Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I had them both 4 out of 10. Anthony Davis, 4 out of 10. And, of course, like, this is just being a superstar, not how I think about you as a player. Because, obviously, like, I didn't include defense, like, at all, but that is half the game. I didn't include that at all in being a superstar because, like I said, we don't give a fuck about that shit. Like, yeah, at the end of the game, if you want to see your team win, then, yeah, you want your guy to, like, you know, get a stop, get a block, whatever. But, yeah, no, I don't give a fuck about that shit. And most people don't, so. But being in those, quote-unquote, small markets, I guess, are affecting them. Same with Ja. Zion, his shit really fell off. Wimby, though. Wimby in his rookie year, he right there. He right there. So, yeah, he definitely going to be in, yeah, he definitely all that. I think nigga averaging 22 and 10 right now. As a fucking beanpole-ass rookie? Oh, shit, yeah, we cooked. We are cooked. But then again, that just shows, you know, again, the difference in today's NBA. Because, I mean, I'm here for all of Victor Wembanyama's greatness. Ben Wallace would have that nigga in hell. Wimby would have a whole 6-7 inches on this nigga, and Ben Wallace would have him in hell. It's just different. It's just different. All right, now we're going to do something a little different. We are going to actually talk about music, kind of, somewhat. So, you know, I've been, I'm a Chiefs fan. So this whole Taylor Swift thing's been going on. And a couple of weeks ago, she was doing the swag surf in the booth and everything, and people, you know, went crazy. And it's kind of, I guess, reemerged, but it's not like it ever really fell off in the black community. But I guess, you know, white people are, you know, now coming around to it. I would jokingly say that, you know, it's the Swift surf now. That was until I forgot the guy's name, but one of the guys who, you know, made the song gave her the green light to do whatever she wants with it. From a financial standpoint, because I would like to think that they would get some type of royalty or something off of it. I would like to think. Okay, that's cool. Great for y'all. But we know niggas are emotional. Niggas is gonna feel a way. If Taylor Swift gets out there and does some bullshit to Swag Surf, but it's a hit because it hits that other extremely large demographic, we gonna be mad. I literally said, and still right now in this moment, believe Swag Surf should be the national anthem. But Taylor Swift she not gonna do that justice. She needs to stay away from it. But at the same time, like, I mean, if Taylor Swift is the psyop that, you know, the Republicans want her to be and everything like that, then, I mean, that would be the ultimate way to get the black vote. But she's got to do it right. She's got to do it justice. And I just can't imagine a world where Taylor Swift can do Swag Surf justice. Hell, Ben Shapiro's a rapper. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they write a book. I mean, yeah, that would definitely get the black vote. That would definitely get the black vote. Oh, my God. Make some Ultimate Mega Swag Surf remix. Oh, my God. If they could get Beyonce on there, like, hey, ain't no beef. We united. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But no, Beyonce wouldn't do that shit. But, well, I don't know. But, I don't want this. I don't want this. Let us keep the Swag Surf. Miss Swift, please. Please do not touch it. Don't touch it. You can do the dance all you want, whatever, but please do not touch it. She's not going to make a Who I Smoke, because that's the bar. Like, we can remix their shit. I have personally yet to hear them be able to remix our shit. I'm sure it's out there. I'm just ignorant to it. But this is a Negro spiritual. I think this is good. If we want to share it, we should make it the national anthem, but that's it. That's it. Don't, Miss Swift, please stay away from Swag Surf. Please stay away from it. Please stay away from it. It's anything sacred anymore. Also, I want to talk about next week we have the Super Bowl, and I'll be, you know, obviously discussing the game and, you know, gambling and shit like that, you know, at some point later in the week. Might even get Cade and Andy on or something to discuss all that. I want to talk about the real shit, though, being the halftime show. This is a great game. Like, obviously the Chiefs are in it, and the 49ers, like, football-wise, is going to be great. But they got Usher. I'm going to lie to y'all. Usher, I'm sure I've said this before. Usher is my Michael Jackson. Because I wasn't, I mean, Yeah, I've heard all Michael Jackson's music and everything. Michael Jackson's still Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's fire, but Michael Jackson, he wasn't. I wasn't familiar with his game at the time. I wasn't familiar with his game like that. And then, you know, he passed in what, 05, 06? Like, I was 13 years old. Like, I mean, yeah, again, I've heard all the music. It's classic. It's fire. Michael Jackson is Michael Jackson. But for me and my generation, it's Usher. And I'm just going back, looking over his discography, trying to see what it is that he would possibly perform, what I would want to see him perform. And I think we could have, I would love, I'm not going to go through all of this. But I need for Usher to perform Love in This Club Part 2. Because I do believe, because, you know, Super Bowl, now last year was different. I don't believe anybody came out with Rihanna. But was it Rihanna last year? Yeah. I don't believe anybody came out with Rihanna. I think Usher's going to have friends. We're in Vegas. And I mean, her husband is literally like, isn't he like some head of, you know, entertainment or some shit, whatever, in the NFL? Like, she's been on tour. Like, yeah, I mean, hey, let's throw back Love in This Club. But then again, actually, no, we can't do Love in This Club. That's a crazy-ass song. To have Jay-Z just be sitting there and have Usher singing to his wife, too, that'd be crazy. Yeah, I always thought that was kind of odd. But, I mean, the song was fire, and that's a way for, you know, you to bring Beyonce out. And bring a Beyonce out would be fire, because Beyonce would be performing. If we want to make keep it racial, Beyonce's going to be performing. Taylor's going to be up in a $2.5 million box. Like, we are not the same. This is Beyonce. That would be her, like, second, third time performing in the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift, you could never. Yeah, you know, keep it racial. Have Beyonce come out. Her and Usher got some songs. I think it'd be fire. Then we can have Jay-Z come out with Hot Toddy. Hot Toddy wasn't one of my favorites, but Jay-Z was on there with him. Bring him out. And then, hey, Usher said on Shay Shay, I didn't see the whole thing, but apparently him and Jay-Z and some other niggas were supposed to be in a group. So, hey, do some unreleased shit. I don't know. Lovers and Friends. Fire, but I don't know if the Super Bowl is going. Well, didn't they bring out Lil Jon and them? The Super Bowl might be, unfortunately, too big for Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. But I could definitely see Ludacris. So if that's the case, bring Lil Jon. Eastside Boys, y'all might be able to come. But hey, Lil Jon, Ludacris, bring them all together. Ludacris is still, you know. And I mean, again, it's an election year, so, you know, they would like to have his influence. I'm sure they're going to have another Fast and Furious movie coming out soon or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah, have Ludacris out there. Bring him out. He got a hit. I do not. Because I'm also trying to see, like, Usher, like, what exactly. I need to go back and see what Rihanna's was like. Because a lot of his shit, like, I don't know if that's some shit that we want at the Super Bowl. Like, I'm trying to see, like, what would his Super Bowl set look like? I personally would love to have more on there. More was fire when that came out in like 08, 09. I remember when that was like the sound of the All-Star game that year, all heaven. But yeah, Nice and Slow, I don't know. But now, wait a second. The game starts at 5:30 Central Time. It's a good chance. It's possible. The halftime could, you know, kick off around 6:58, 6:59, 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm just saying, that would be fire. That would be fire. If nigga hits that at 7 o'clock on the... Hey, man. Now, that's not really a song. I would think that you... I mean, at the Super Bowl, like, you know, but... Hey. 7 o'clock on the dot at the Super Bowl, I think that just hits different. I don't know. I definitely think Superstars. I wish you could fucking bet on these. I wish there was like bet Usher's fucking set list or like bet a song that's gonna play. There's gotta have that somewhere. Superstar, I would definitely take. Superstar, he's definitely gonna like, he gotta get in his fucking female empowerment bag. Like, you, that's a pro rec in today's day and age. Superstar's gonna be done. Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, I don't know how. Is he gonna do like. I need to watch his fucking Tiny Desk again. I need to see what type of shit he was on for that. Yeah, that's what I need to do. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it don't matter. I'm excited for this. I cannot wait. I would be fire if he did that one song with LMA. That came out, what, 2-3 years ago? Oh my. Can't wait. cannot wait for Usher and the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Shout out Joe Montana, our dog for life. Go Chiefs. I'm doing it again, guys. I'm doing it again. But I have time. I have more time, so I'll be able to do another episode sooner rather than later. Of course, like always, there's like, you know, other shit that, you know, we're just gonna save for another day.